The death of Robin Williams has once again highlighted the issues of suicide and depression. Here in the UK, it's already the biggest killer of men under the age of 35. Charities believe it's because males aren't able to speak up when they're struggling with issues such as debt, unemployment and mental health problems. Despite a lack of funding for mental health services, work's now being done in Staffordshire, where the number of suicides has more than doubled in the last decade. BBC Radio Stoke's Sarah Robertson has been talking to people whose lives have been touched by depression.
I don't think I even knew at the time that I was suffering depression. It slowly built up over a period of weeks and months to a point where I just thought, I can't go on. It's easier now to end the pain, the suffering, to want to be dead, to just not want to have to feel like this anymore. And the thought of going through the rest of my life feeling like I was a terrifying thought.
Phil was 35 and a successful designer living in Stoke-on-Trent when he was diagnosed with depression. Before then, he prided himself on being able to cope with all the pressures of work and challenges he came across in life, but over time, keeping it in got too much.
I came up with this idea to end my life. It was a harsh, really frozen winter, and I thought that the easiest way to do this for the people that cared about me was to try to end my life in a way that made it look like an accident. I ended up on the shores of a frozen lake in the dead of night with the 100% intention to throw myself into this frozen lake. My death would have been recorded as drowning or misadventure, but anything but suicide.
After walking away and deciding that suicide was not an option, Phil opened up to his doctor and for the first time got help for his illness. Suicide is now the single biggest killer of men under the age of 35, and they're three times more likely to kill themselves than women. Ian Smith is senior coroner for North Staffordshire.
I think it's a big issue, but it's a big issue nationally. Suicides are undoubtedly on the increase and have been on the increase for the last two or three years. If we look at figures and figures alone, they're certainly on the up. If I look at the figures for 2003, which is when I first became coroner here in Stoke-on-Trent, the figures have effectively doubled over that period. It's very concerning as a human being as well as a coroner that people feel so desperate that they have to do this particular awful act to themselves.
The numbers are rising for men and women, but no one understands fully why men are most at risk. Research by the Samaritans shows factors like unemployment, poverty and relationship breakdowns all contribute. The charity also suggests men don't feel able to share problems in the same way women tend to, because they're reluctant to admit they're struggling. Stephen Habgood's only son, Chris, killed himself in 2009. He was just 26. Chris, like so many men, had kept his problems from his parents.
My son suffered from depression from probably 13, and it wasn't really until he died and he left us a letter that I had some idea of how long he'd suffered and how much he found it a struggle. And I think that's the problem with young men, is that they tend to keep it to themselves, they keep it secret, they're ashamed of how they feel, they don't want people to know about it, and so, you know, it goes undisclosed. I think you feel angry, I think you want to direct your anger. I mean, I felt angry towards myself for not identifying that he was struggling. And I felt, you know, that whilst I couldn't do anything for him, I can certainly do something for other young people, other parents.
Stephen is now chair of youth suicide prevention charity Proprius. He supports projects that help teach young men how to talk about their feelings. One of those is the Maccas Project. It does everything from giving talks in schools to counselling sessions and getting young people with mental illnesses more specialised support. The man in charge is Chris Abula. He told me it can be incredibly hard to get them to open up at first.
What we're trying to do is address some of the local stigma and balance some of the thinking around the fact that if you do talk or show any kind of weakness, and that's a failure as a man. We don't live in the 1900s where the males were expected to go out and earn the money. So what I can't do is idly stand by and see people who are suffering, who would benefit from support, yet either A, they don't know where to go and get support, or B, they're too afraid to ask because they might be judged by their peers or the family or the friends. That's a really sad place to be in the modern day and age. The worst thing we can ever do is sit there in silence and suffer.
Mental health professionals continue to argue that their sector is seriously underfunded and overstretched. But for now, as suicide numbers continue to rise and charities continue to campaign, Phil says he hopes just sharing his experience will help others feel able to speak up.
I said at the start that I couldn't face carrying on the rest of my life feeling the way I was. But it doesn't last forever. You won't always feel as bad as you currently are feeling. You can recover. There is a way out that doesn't involve death. When you go there and you're in that darkest corner of your own mind, it's terrifying. But there's a way back. I've come back. I know others that have too.
That's a report from Sarah Robertson of BBC Radio Stoke.